Father, we just open our hearts to you. Lord, we open our hearts to your word, to your voice, Lord, that you would speak into each and every heart. And Father, I just pray that this morning that spiritual truth would be imparted into us, Lord. Lord, that as we know that truth, that there would be new freedom, new victory in our life. And Father, I just pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding today, Lord, to make right decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. Decisions determine destination. Jeremiah 29:11 in the NIV says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God has a plan. He has a plan for our lives. There's a purpose for each and every one of us. As we pursue the plan of God in our life, we find joy, victory, passion. We find that abundant life, fulfillment, as we pursue His plan and His purpose. It's important for us to realize that God has a plan and a purpose. And it's important for us to realize that He has good things planned for us. Amen. It's important to realize that God wants to bless us, that He has good things in store for us. He says to give you a hope and a future. So we need to envision what God has for us, good things, a hope and a future. And we need to believe for that. Most people set their sights way too low or don't set any at all. It's been said, if you aim at nothing, you'll almost always hit it. It's important that we aim at something, the plan of God, what God has for us. And as we pray and we trust the Lord, we believe that He leads us and guides us, I believe that many times God puts in our heart things that He wants to accomplish in our life or things that He wants to accomplish through our life. And we need to believe God for those things. 2 Timothy 4:7, the Apostle Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." In the King James, he says, "I have finished my course." When have you finished the race? When have you finished your course? It's when you have reached your destination, when you have accomplished the purpose of God and fulfilled the plan of God in your life. Then you can say, "I have finished my course." Our lives are going somewhere. Everybody's life is going somewhere. Sometimes we say, in a derogatory way, we say about somebody, well, they're going nowhere fast. But everybody's life is going somewhere. Where will we end up? That is in large part determined by our decisions. You know, God gave every single one of us a free will to choose. We see that in every human life, beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden, that they had a free will to make a decision whether to obey God or not. We have a free will to make decisions in our life, to make choices on a daily basis. And those choices, those decisions, determine our destination, not only where we end up in life, but where we end up in eternity. It's an interesting verse of Scripture in Joel chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." We all face decisions every day. Some of them are big, some of them are small, some we recognize as important, and some we think don't really matter. We all struggle sometimes with decisions. Where should I invest my money, if I had any? Who should I date? Where should I go on vacation? What kind of career should I pursue? Some are bigger than others, but we all make decisions all the time. And the truth is that some of those decisions that we think are small can have a big impact later in our life. I've always thought that was an interesting verse. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. In fact, I remember as a young man, as a teenager, the first time I ever read that verse, it just struck me how interesting. And you know, it's talking about a day of judgment that's coming. and how that we in this life, multitudes, everybody is in this valley of decision. You see, as we pass through this life, in a sense, it is a valley of decision where we are making decisions in this life that determine our destiny, both in this life and in eternity. But those choices that we make in life are like turns in a road. Those turns that you make determine where you end up. It is absolute foolishness to think that if you just head out this morning in your car and just randomly make right and left turns, that you're going to end up where you wanted to be. And yet that's what so many people do in life. We need to realize the choices that we make, the decisions that we make on a daily basis are determining where we end up in life. You know, when we're born, we have no control over where we're born, when we're born, and what we're born. And in fact, the first few years of life, we have little or no control over our life. We're totally dependent upon somebody else. But as you age a little bit, and especially once you become a teenager, you begin to make choices and decisions that can have an outcome in your life. And when you're an older teenager and a young adult, the hard truth is you make a lot of decisions that can affect the rest of your life. And the tough thing about that is you're so young to be making those kinds of decisions. You need wisdom and godly counsel. By the way, parents, I realize this is not what society is telling you, but I'm telling you that young people and children need parents who will help them make the right decisions until they can make them on their own. Amen. You know, let me just illustrate that to you. When you have a three-year-old, you tell them you're not going to run out into the street. You're not going to play in the street. And if you do, you're going to be in trouble. See, you're helping them make a decision until they're wise enough to make that decision on their own. Now, I'm just telling you, some of you parents of teenagers need to use a little of the same wisdom. Well, anyway, moving along before I start meddling, all right? But as we get older, more and more, we not only make decisions that affect our life, but we need to realize that more and more, our lives are the result of our past decisions. More and more, as we get older, our lives are the outcome of the choices that we have made in the past. You know, as a teenager, I thought it wasn't important to make good grades. In fact, I think that started in my elementary years. But it carried on all the way through my high school years. You know, I didn't realize that making good grades could make the difference in tens of thousands of dollars in scholarship and other aid for college. You know, that might seem unimportant, but where you end up has a lot to do with the decisions that you make in life. Now, we all have to follow the plan and the purpose of God for us. And you see, God has a race. We have to run the race that's marked out for us. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 says. And God has a plan for each and every life. And I want to say this very plainly. Some people, it's not part of God's plan for you to go to college. God has a different career path that you're to take. And many people are very successful in that way. But I also want to tell you, though, that statistically, those that have a bachelor degree make twice what those who don't. It's important what decisions that you make. And a lot of times those decisions, as I illustrated with myself, those decisions begin to be made when you're just very young. Here's another big decision that young people make many times is, and they may not even realize they're making a decision at the time, but whether or not they have sex before marriage. Now, for some, it's not really a conscious decision they make, but something that just happens as a result of other poor decisions, like being at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. It's kind of quiet in here, but you can do the math. And that's how that happens for so many young people, that they just didn't really even make a decision and in the process made a terrible decision. But teenagers and young adults, as I said, they make a lot of decisions that can affect their life for many, many years. And the older we get, we need to realize that our lives really are a product of the choices that we have made in the past. And I want you to understand that certainly all of us have things happen to us, and there are events in life, things that go on that are beyond our control. And we have to pray and trust God with those things. But it is part of the culture that we live in to put all of the responsibility on somebody else, on society itself, if we have to, when in fact, the Scripture makes it plain and clear that we are accountable to God. And most of the outcome of our life is determined by the choices that we make. The decisions of our past, not completely, but to a great degree, determined where we are in life, financially, in our health, in our marriage and other relationships, family relationships, our walk with God, whether or not we're happy and fulfilled or whether we're grumpy and frustrated. A lot of that is all determined by the past decisions and choices that we made in life. So it's important to know where it is you want to go. How can you get there if you don't know what your destination is? Then we need to remember that the choices that we make can determine our course. It can change where we end up. There's a lot of key decisions in life that determine destination. You know, first and foremost, obviously, is that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him your Lord and Savior. When you do that, then all of those other decisions can come into place. But when we miss that one, doesn't matter what other right decisions you make, ultimately your life is still a mess when you don't make Jesus the Lord of your life. Your eternity is still doomed until you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether or not to marry or who you marry is a decision that will impact every part of your life in every way. Now, I made such a good choice in that department. By the grace of God, all right? By the grace of God. And Carmen is such a wonderful helpmate, not only as a housewife, but also as my partner in ministry as she works side by side with me. And I'm such a blessed man in that area. But what a key decision in life. First of all, whether or not you marry. And second, who you marry. The career, the vocation that you choose. I want to tell you, it matters to God. He has a plan. Having children, going to school, your involvement in ministry, where you live, buying a house, buying a car, any kind of major purchase like that. All kinds of choices that we make involving relationships with other people. All these kinds of choices can have such a big impact on where you end up in life. So how do you make the right choices? Now, there's a lot of scripture and a lot of principles that we could apply this morning, but I'm just going to give you three simple things that will kind of act as an umbrella. You could put a lot of things under these three, and I'm just going to talk about them briefly. But the first one is, if we're going to make good decisions, if we're going to make the right choices in life, we need wisdom. You see, wisdom will tell us what the end result is of that decision. You know, a lot of the time, that's where we fail in making our decision, is that we don't consider down the road. We just look at the right here and the right now. But wisdom gives us that ability to see down the road where this road will lead to. The Bible says in James 1 and 5, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives generously to all men. He doesn't hold back. Listen, we need to realize that wisdom is available to us. And in fact, he goes on to make it very clear that if we'll ask in faith, not wavering, then we'll receive that wisdom. So it's important that you believe. You ask God for wisdom and believe that you receive it. And God is well able to impart that wisdom to your heart and mind. But many times he uses other people, godly people, wise people, to bring that wisdom to you. And so as we're trying to make an important decision in life, many times we need to seek godly counsel. We need to have a willing heart to listen to wise counsel from other people, especially older or spiritual believers. Sometimes maybe we need to seek wisdom from an expert in a certain field. But most of all, we just need to seek God's wisdom, because having that wisdom will help us to make a decision that's going to lead us to the destination where we want to be in life. You got to have God's wisdom. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." You see, if we just go on human wisdom and in our own smarts, now listen to me, if you just operate by the philosophy, the teaching, the ways of the world, it seems right, but it will end in destruction. You see, God's wisdom sees the end, and it will help you arrive where there's life, where there's abundant life, blessing. Popular attitude of the day, especially among young people, to do stupid things. It's cool. And you can do something really stupid to yourself and video it and put it on YouTube and be famous, with no regard for the future, where you're going to have treatment the rest of your life. But just for the moment of glory, that right now, if you do something really stupid, other people will think that's cool. Now, that's an extreme example, but that attitude is so prevalent that there's just a lot of this mentality that, well, you know, I don't care what happens. I'm just going to be carefree, and I'm going to be just act silly and do stupid things. But in reality, the end result of that is harsh. And as you go through life, you look back at foolish and stupid decisions, and we pay a price for those things. In reality, it does matter. And there is an end result. And that's why we need to seek to have wisdom in our life in making decisions. Wisdom is to see the end result of that decision. You know, there's a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. That we reap what we sow. That if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap destruction. If we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap life. We need to see there's an end result for the choices, the decisions that we make. To make the right choices, we have to obey God. You know, God wants the best for us. There's a lot of people in our world that are confused about that. Even a lot of religious people, Christian people, that are confused about that. They think that God is a killjoy, that he just wants to keep people from having a good time. And so he has all these thou shalts and thou shalt nots. But the truth is that God just wants the very best for us. He wants us to have the best kind of life, an abundant life. And so if we want God's best in our life, we just simply have to obey God. And in our decisions, in our daily choices, we have to obey God. And when we disobey God, we settle for less than his best. In fact, when we disobey God, we set ourselves up for destruction. James 1 and 15 says that sin, when it is finished, when it's full grown, it brings forth death. You see, disobeying God will bring forth destruction, bring forth death in your life. Not life, not abundant life, but death. So if we want to experience all that God has for us, we got to be willing to obey God. He's made so much of his will plain in his word. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us an abundant life, the best kind of life. If you want to reach that destination in your life, you got to use your roadmap. See, he tells you which way to turn. He tells you what the right choice is. And you know, we may not view the commands of the Lord that way. We may not view the instruction of Scripture and the principles that way. But they truly are. They are instructing us which way to turn in life. And if we follow the instructions, if we follow the roadmap here, it will lead us to where we want to be in life. You see, if you want to be successful in the area of finance, you need to start with the scripture. If you want to be successful in your marriage and raising children, you need to start with the scripture. If you want to be successful in some area of ministry, you need to start with the scripture. We have to obey God. If we're going to make right choices, then we simply have to be willing to obey God and do what pleases the Lord. To make right choices, we have to pray. You know, there's a lot of choices and decisions in life. There's just no easy answer. And sometimes, in some regards, there's not necessarily a right and a wrong, except that God has a plan, and we need to know what that plan is. And the only way that we're going to find out what that plan is to hear His voice. Jesus said, "My sheep know My voice." And I'll tell you, it's only in prayer and through our communication with God that we're going to be able to hear and know His voice and know which way He would have us to go sometimes. It's the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. We can't be led by the Spirit if we don't take time to pray. And so every time we make a decision, every time we have a choice in life of any consequence, we need to take time to pray about that and give God the opportunity to speak to our heart. I'm not talking about some audible voice that God is going to tell you, stop at McDonald's today on the way home. I don't think that God would ever say that. But not a McDonald's fan. But I'm not telling you that God is going to speak to you in audible voices. All I'm telling you that concerning issues that matter, that God is able to speak to your heart, but you've got to be willing to pray and to spend time with Him and give Him the opportunity to speak to you. See, that only happens when we pray sincerely desiring to do His will. And we taught this just a couple of Wednesday nights ago as part of the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That is a prayer for God's guidance, that He will lead us in the right path and that He'll deliver us from the evil one. You see, there is one who is working against you. He wants to keep you from that destination God has for you. He wants to keep you from the blessings of God, from that abundant life. Jesus said He came to steal, kill, and destroy. And you see, He does that by getting you off course, by getting you to make bad decisions. Now, we need to pray daily for God's guidance and direction and for His deliverance from the evil one, for His protection in our life, to keep us on that path to life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Another translation says, "He will direct your paths." You see, as we pray, we have to trust Him. We have to realize that He has the best in mind for us and that He is able to bring about His plan for our life. You see, I think the real key issue here is being willing to pray and trust. Because sometimes people pray, but they think that God will let them go astray anyway. Listen, God wants you to be in His will. He wants you to find His perfect plan. He wants you to fulfill His purpose in your life. And so if we pray sincerely, I really believe we can trust the Lord that He will lead and guide us. Now, the second part there, he says, "Lean not to your own understanding." You see, because sometimes, as I said earlier, if we just go by human wisdom, we're going to find ourselves on a path to destruction. We're going to find ourselves in the midst of all kinds of problems that God didn't intend for us. No, we have to trust Him and follow His leadership, even if it doesn't make sense to us. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, to acknowledge Him in our ways doesn't just mean, you know, how do you acknowledge somebody? That doesn't mean that you just give Him a nod or you just say, "Yeah, okay." To acknowledge Him in our ways is to live our life, the way that we conduct our lives We are acknowledging Him. In other words, we are living according to His standards. We are living according to His word and the way that He'd have us to. And then He makes our paths straight. He directs our paths. You see, then we're not confused by the turns of life. We know which way to go as we trust Him and allow Him to lead us. Here's three simple things you ask yourself before you make a decision. Where will this decision lead? If I take this choice or if I take this choice, where will it lead? Will this please the Lord? Is this in line with His word? Do I have to make an excuse or justify? Will this please the Lord? Have I sincerely prayed about this? You know, I know even in my own life, many times I can come to a place where I'm about to make a decision, and if I'm not careful, if I don't watch it, I can forget to really sit down and intentionally and deliberately pray. And maybe we think, well, it's not important, but all too often we pass off decisions that should have been prayed about, and we just go ahead and make them, not really giving God time to speak to our heart. So before you make that decision, ask yourself, where's this going to lead? Will this please the Lord? Am I obeying the Lord? Have I sincerely prayed about this? Now I want to talk for a minute about making bad decisions. We've all been there. We've all done it. And there's a lot of ways you can make a bad decision. Again, I'm just going to talk about three areas that are very common. The first one is we make bad decisions by default. We just don't even make a decision. We make a decision, but our decision is that we're not going to make a decision. And a lot of people just live by default. Their life is a mess because they haven't intentionally set out a course and said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this because this is where I want to be. They just kind of let life happen to them. And it's a terrible decision because it always ends in destruction and problems. Not making a decision, just refusing to choose, can be disaster. No, we got to be deliberate. Choose the life that He has for us. Don't live by default. We always make bad decisions when we allow the fear of man to dictate to us. We're talking about young people. We call it peer pressure. What will someone else think? And you see, there's a big difference between that and seeking godly counsel. When you seek wise counsel, godly counsel from someone, you are asking for their wisdom. But the fear of man operates like this. It is just that. It is a fear. It is an intimidation. It is a pressure, peer pressure. It is a pressure. It is living in the fear of what will others think. It is wanting to be accepted. To put it again in teenager terms, to think so that others will think that we're cool. But not just for teenagers. It happens to all of us, where we can become concerned about what other people think instead of obeying God, instead of obeying what God has put in our heart. And when we live by the fear of man, it always gets us in trouble. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. Don't let somebody else make your decisions for you. Another way to make a bad decision is to allow your carnal desires, your sinful nature, to determine your choice. Reminds me of the story of Esau in the Bible. Esau was that man's man. He liked to go out and hunt, and one day he came in from the hunt, and his brother Jacob, that mama's boy, was cooking some stew. I'm just telling it like it is now. Now, Jacob turned out to be a man of God, by the way. But I'm talking about at this time, he was mama's boy. And he was making some stew, cooking. And here comes his brother Esau, and he says, give me some of that red stew. And Jacob says, sell me your birthright. And Esau says, well, what good is my birthright if I'm dead? So he trades away his birthright of being the firstborn for a bowl of soup. But you know that story, happens over and over and over in people's lives every day where they trade away blessings down the road for a moment of pleasure right now. And they allow their carnal desires, their fleshly desires, to dictate to them what their decision will be. It's another story in the Bible, a tragic story. The man Samson, great man of God, but yet he made some horrible decisions because he allowed his fleshly desires to dictate to him what his choices would be. And when Samson told Delilah all that was in his heart and how that if his hair was cut, he would become like any other man, that was not his first bad decision. It was his last. But he made a lot of little bad decisions along the way to get to that one. The kind of women that he chose to pursue, and who in particular he chose to pursue. You can't make right decisions being led by the sinful nature. I mentioned this earlier, but I want to read it to you from Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature reaps destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. See, we sow seed, we reap. This is a spiritual law. Well, it's also a natural law, isn't it? It has been amazing to me. You know, the last year and this year, we have a garden. Just had too much free time on my hands. And so, no, it's a great way to relax. And contrary to what a lot of people say, I guess we've just been very blessed because it hasn't been much work and we enjoy it. But it's amazing to me. You put this little seed. Now, you know, if you get a little kernel of corn, a little kernel, that little seed, you put it down in the ground about an inch and you water it and the sun hits it and God makes it grow. And it's awesome. Just in like 2 months and they go from this little seed to 6 feet tall. It's really cool. The same thing happens in our life spiritually. He says, whatever you sow, that will you also reap. Whether you sow to your sinful nature, you're going to reap destruction. Or you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. And why we struggle with this so much that we just want to plant different seed. We want to plant one seed and get a different crop. You can't get the results you want planting the wrong things. You can't get where you want to be in life making the wrong choices and decisions. Because what you sow, you're going to reap. One older pastor put it this way. Well, he said, you don't need a word of knowledge to tell people where their life is going and where they're going to end up. To predict their life. You just look at the decisions that they're making right now and you can tell them. But people, you know, we do this. We make wrong choices and wrong decisions and we want to pray that we'll have different results. And I want to tell you this morning that God is gracious and He is merciful. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. And He is loving and kind and compassionate. And He's a miracle worker. But I also want to remind you of the spiritual truth, the spiritual laws that are at work here, that we reap what we sow. And it is important. And God does hold us accountable. In fact, He holds us accountable for every idle word. It is important what we do in this life and how we live our life. And much of our life is the consequence and is the outcome of the past, of the decisions and the choices that we have made. Now, I want to tell you this real plainly. Now, you know, we can't go back and change much of the past. Sometimes we need to try to make amends or make things right in certain situations or with certain people. But for the most part, we can't worry about the past. We just put that under the blood of Jesus. But we should learn from the past and realize that it makes a difference about the choices we make today are going to determine where I am tomorrow, where my life ends up, how things turn out. A lot of times it's the little decisions we make on a daily basis that play such a big part in where we end up. Now, I talked about big decisions, but a lot of the time it's the little decisions that influence the big decisions and that really make the difference in where we end up. How about this? You make a decision to be a doctor, but never make any decision to study. I got news for you. You ain't going to make it. It doesn't matter how big your decision was to be a doctor. If you don't make some little decisions like to study when others are playing video games, you ain't going to be a doctor. Little decisions like, well, let me put it this way. Marrying the right person for me was a big decision. I made a lot of little decisions before that about who not to date and who not to marry. You see, a lot of people say, well, one of these days I'm going to find the right one. It's going to be a big decision in my life. I'll find the right one. But they're very careless and foolish about how they live their life and in their relationships. You got to make the right decisions on a daily basis. Sometimes it may seem like a little thing, but you got to make the right decisions. How does somebody get really, really, really out of shape? A little bit at a time. Now, I want you to understand that for some people it's more difficult than others, or put it this way, for some people it seems to be easier than for others. But regardless, it happens over time, just little decisions at a time. How do you get in shape? Well, you make little decisions at a time, and ultimately, you know, that's what it always comes back to, that you make a decision on a daily basis to eat right and to exercise and to get good sleep and just to take care of yourself. And when we don't, what usually happens is we end up with physical health problems, and then we pray for a different result than from the choices we've made. And God heals, and God is gracious, and He is so good. But I'm telling you that there's a direct relation to the daily decisions and choices that we make and the outcome that we have in our life. Right now, we're living in an economy where a lot of people are going through difficult times. The things happen to us that we didn't necessarily have control over. And you know, we just have to trust God with those things, because He does have control. He is Lord in our life. And He can work it out, and He'll take care of us. Jehovah Jireh, He will provide for us. But I want you to realize that it is very, very true that many of the decisions that we make on a daily basis determine our outcome in success or financially. Most millionaires don't get to be millionaires by winning the lottery. Almost none. Percentage-wise, almost none. The vast majority of millionaires, now I know what some of you are thinking, well, yeah, it's because they inherit it, it's old money. No. The vast majority of millionaires got to be millionaires by working and saving more than they spent. Isn't that amazing? Just over a long period of time, there were a lot of good decisions that got them there. Now, that's an extreme example, I realize. But let's just talk about some real down-to-earth things. I'll give you an example from my grandfather. He told me this story many, many years ago. I thought it was amazing then, and it still is to me now. He used to chew tobacco and smoked cigars when he was very young. But one day, he got to doing some figuring. And he added up, he figured up that if he quit his tobacco habit, he could buy a new sofa in 2 months. And he quit it and never went back. And you know, I just did a little figuring in my head, and I don't really know that much about it. And believe me, this is not about tobacco, all right? The only thing I have to say about that is God wants you to be free. I said, well, I like it. I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm just telling you, God wants you to be free, all right? But I did a little figuring on my own. And you know, if you smoke 2 packs a day, that pretty much holds true today. You could buy a sofa in 2 months, 3 tops. If you got expensive taste, it might take 4. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that absolutely amazing? Now, I happen to like coffee. Y'all remember what I said last week? I don't just like it. I really, really, really like it. Yeah. And if I go to Starbucks twice a week, do you know at the end of a year, that's $500? $500? How much nicer a Christmas I could have bought for my wife if I didn't go to Starbucks? I'm in trouble now. No, I don't go very often. But I just want you to realize that those are just little bitty things, little bitty decisions. But even the small choices regarding our finances can have a big impact over time. You just look at it over the course of a year. But when you look at the small choices you make for many years, it has a huge impact on your outcome and where you end up. See, it's just the principle. It's not just about the health issue or the finances. It's a principle. We need to see that it makes a difference how the decisions we make on a daily basis. And if we want to see real change in our life, if we want to change our life, we want to see change, and we want to change where we're headed down the road, we want to get to a certain destination. Listen to me. We need to be willing to make a change in our daily decisions, in our daily routine. If you want real change in your life, don't just say, well, I'd like to change my life, or I'd like for my life to go this way. Don't say, well, I'm going to change someday, or I'm going to do something big. No, just start with daily change. What are you going to change tomorrow? What are you going to change in your routine tomorrow and the next day and the next day? So if you're going to pray, spend time in the Word every day, it's a daily decision that will affect your outcome in life. But it takes discipline. You see, it takes discipline to make the right choices on a daily basis. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, the Apostle Paul gives us an example of how that the Olympic athletes go into this strict training. And he says they do it to get this temporary crown that will just last for a little while. They discipline themselves. You can just imagine how disciplined they have to be in their diet and in their exercise program and everything about their life. They have to be temperate. They have to be careful about what they do because they're working towards this goal. But he's given us this as an example for us spiritually. How much more should we who are striving for an eternal crown? You see, we need to be disciplined about the way we live our lives and our daily decisions, our daily routine, because the end result is going to be determined by those decisions. The little things every day. Be disciplined. It'll help you get where you want to go. Little things. I want to tell you, you can change your marriage just by starting doing little things differently with your spouse. Just change something little and do it every day. You can change the outcome, where your family's going, how your kids are going to turn out, just by daily going out of your way to spend a little time with your kids, just by daily changing the way you talk to your kids. Just little things, just little changes, little choices and little decisions, and yet it can have a big difference in the payoff and the outcome, how your kids turn out. You got to keep your eyes on the goal. Make the right choices to get where you want to go. You see, I've been talking about how that decisions determine destiny. But we need to allow our destiny to determine my decision right now. Where I want to go is going to determine the decision I make today. You decide where you want to be, how you want things to turn out, by the decision you make right now, by the little decisions every day. Proverbs 15:21 says, "Folly delights a man who lacks judgment, but a man of understanding keeps a straight course." See, a man of understanding is going to stay focused. He's going to keep a straight course. He's not going to take detours. It's amazing to me how many people, they want to arrive at a certain place in life. They want to be successful in a certain area of life, and yet they'll take detours. No, a man of understanding will stay on that straight course. The Apostle Paul said, 2 Timothy 4:7, "I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I have kept the faith." I just want to point out to you that he says, it's a fight. I have fought the good fight, and it is a fight. If you're going to stay on course, if you're going to make the right decisions, there's going to be lots of opportunity to give up, lots of difficulty, lots of opportunity to make a bad choice and go the wrong way, and it's a fight. But we have to finish our course. You got to stay on course even when it gets tough, even when there's opposition. You stay on course and you make the right choice. And I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, if you want to be happier, more fulfilled in your life, make up your mind. Choose. Say, "I'm going to be happy. I'm going to make a decision to be happy in my life every day. I'm not going to..." Well, everybody wants to be happy. Well, decide. Just say, "I'm going to be happy today." Make up your mind in just a little decision. Make up your mind that today I'm going to be sure that I have time with the Lord. It's a daily decision, just a little thing. Say, "Well, if I an hour, that would be a big thing." Then make it 5 minutes. Make it 10 minutes. Whatever you can do. But you make up your mind that you're going to spend some time with the Lord and in His Word every single day. Make a little decision that you're going to think good things today, that you're not going to allow yourself to dwell on all kinds of negative stuff and what might happen. Don't allow yourself to worry, but instead you're going to trust God. You're going to think on, as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians, these things. You're going to think on the good things. Here's a little daily decision that'll have a big impact on the outcome of your life. Don't say anything negative. The Bible tells us very plainly, James chapter 3, that your tongue is like a rudder on a ship, that it will control the course of your life. So here's a little decision. Bite your tongue. If you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. In fact, here's a real challenge for most believers. Go one whole day without saying anything negative about anybody. Go a whole day without saying one negative word about any person. Go a whole day without saying one discouraging thing to your wife, to your kids, to your husband. Make up your mind. See, it's a daily decision. It may seem like a little thing, but it has a big outcome over time. Make up your mind. You know, if there's an area in your life where you just want a greater freedom, you want to be free, well, decide today I'm going to be free and take it a day at a time. Trust Jesus and believe Him and rest in Him. But you see, so many things in life we kind of put off as this big thing out there somewhere that I'm going to arrive at finally, but we fail to make the decisions on a daily basis that will really get us there. And so I challenge you and encourage you, make it something in your life every day that the decisions that you're making do count.